6, starting at verse 9. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." And verse 31. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let's pray. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father, that you do know us through and through. Lord, you know that as we come together this morning, we come with various concerns and issues that fill our minds and our hearts. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of all sufficiency, that, Lord, no matter what our situation, dear Lord, you are able to meet us and to help us, to strengthen us and to keep us and to supply what we need. Do pray for Keith as he comes and speak to us now. Lord, pray that each of us would recognize that you're wanting, you're longing to speak into our lives and our situations. And so, Lord, we ask for listening ears and hearts and minds to receive what you will say. Give Keith that clarity and opportunity just to be able to speak your truth. Dear Lord, that you be glorified and we be built up in Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen. Keith.
That's better. I can see you all now. Good. Daily bread. Last week, Joe reminded us that before we come to the asking side of prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, in this pattern prayer that we have set before us, we need to know the person that we're requesting of. The person that we come to needs to be a kind of person who will answer our prayers, who will give us what we ask for. There's no point in coming to him otherwise. Unfortunately, as we learnt last week, and as we'll learn as we look at this prayer, God is like that. Jesus teaches about a God who is just like that. And these first two lessons of the Lord's Prayer, the first two verses, teach us about our God and what he's like. So we have our Father. Do you remember what Jesus said later in chapter 7? He said, "If you, evil though you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" It was a different concept of God. He was a God who really loved, a God who was a father. But he was still a God in heaven, a God who was holy. Jesus had already taught them earlier in chapter 5 that God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and to send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is Almighty God that we're coming to deal with. So he's a father, but he's in heaven. And his name is holy. And that's what we prayed as we looked at it in these last couple of weeks. In chapter 5, Jesus also says, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Have you ever thought about God as perfect, as holy, as completely all light and no darkness? And it's to that God that we come as we bring our requests this morning. And we pray, therefore, "May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's what we prayed as we came together last week, and we thought about that. When we come to this Heavenly Father, we're called to identify with him, to actually understand who he is, and to say, "Yes, Lord, we want that to happen. We want your will to be done. We want your kingdom to be foremost in our lives," to align ourselves with what he wants. "Your kingdom come, your will be done." I always go back to this quotation in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when the beavers are talking to the children about Aslan, who's a picture of God, of course. "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. God isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. It's not some heartless tyrant that we come to when we come in prayer. Jesus teaches us that God is a Father who loves us, and yet he's still God. He's still the holy God. He's good. He's the King. But we remember that he's our Father, and he loves us. And that's the person that we come to today as we pray, give us today the food we need. Give us our daily bread, the daily needs that we have. That's what we come to God to ask about today. We make ourselves dependent on God. We ask him for what we need, not to try to do it ourselves. Well, we're all different. And when we come in prayer, we come from different life situations. And we thought we'd bring that home to you a little bit this morning. We're going to remind ourselves, just for a little while, how life tastes and how God sustains us. Jill.
Right, what we've got here is some different types of bread to taste. And there are different names of bread, and they'll all have different types of tastes and textures. And we're going to divide you up into eight groups, and there's eight different types of bread. And in your little group, I want you all to have a little taste. There's not very much, so just a little tiny bit of taste. What does it taste like? What does it feel like? And you can be as honest as you like, okay? And then what sort of life experience does it remind you of? You know, if it's a really chewy, tough bread, it may remind you of sometimes life can be pretty tough, pretty hard going. You'll probably get the idea as you taste the bread. Are there life experiences that remind you of that taste? Okay? And then we'll come back together and share. So basically what we'll have is sort of one group down as far as sort of Angie and Alex, and then another group behind there. We'll have one group sort of three in to Nigel, and one group at the back there, one sort of up to probably Sue and Paul, another one here, and if you sort of move down into that bit, and we'll have another group down the end there, all right? And in your little, as you pass the bread round, if there's just one person in that little section who'll be responsible for writing it down on the bit of paper and coming back to share. So whoever, we don't remind who it is. Okay, is there any questions? We have got gluten-free bread. Is there anybody who needs gluten-free, wheat-free? I mean, I know we've got Dawn at the back, so we'll make sure, if you do, it's gluten and wheat and milk-free in that one at the back there. Okay?
To those of you who liked what you had.
Is that everybody? Right. Michael, what was the name of your bread?
Ours was the chocolate chip. Can't pronounce it.
Oh.
Chocolate chip brioche.
What did it taste like?
It tastes very sweet, very indulgent, soft, and not a normal diet. You would know.
And does it remind you of any life experiences?
They said treat, party, smells. I can't even read Steve's writing it.
Small amount, but wouldn't eat it all the time. Not good to sustain. Yes, very good. Thank you. So that was the chocolate chip brioche. What have we got here?
Well, on the piece of paper it says pumpernickel, but we happen to have in our group a lady from Germany who says it's not pumpernickel. It's a British copy. What does it taste like? Sweet, nutty, firm, dense, depth of flavour, very filling, and we all felt there was a sort of a very sweet taste, and our German friend said that real pumpernickel is made with malt. Has that got malt in it? Is that one? You don't know.
Morrison's, we don't know.
That's Morrison's, okay. So I think the malt is the thing that makes it, and real pumpernickel is very black, apparently. Kind of life experience. We struggled on that, except that if you talk to, I've forgotten your name,
Fiona.
Afterwards, she'll tell you the story of how the name pumpernickel came about. go to her. She didn't want to come up front and say, but it's to do with somebody riding on a horse. So maybe it teaches us about journeys.
So what have we got here then?
wholemeal bread, very plain and boring. It tastes gritty, plain, boring, run-of-the-mill, unexciting, needs jam. And if hungry, it's all right. One of our group was hungry, and he was glad to have another bit. But and life experience, it's just sort of an ordinary day, run-of-the-mill, you know, just get on with it kind of thing.
All right, thank you. Yeah. And then whoever's next?
We had honey and sunflower seeds, and they said it tastes like, seedy, bit doughy and chewy, nice, bits get stuck in your teeth, especially if you've got false ones. It's not me, I haven't. Not sweet, because it said it was honey, but they said they couldn't taste the honey, and it needed butter on it. A kind of life experience. It speaks of getting stuck in a rut. Perseverance, because it needs lots of chewing. Full of goodness and health.
So we had a seeded bagel, which people said tasted sweet, bit dry and heavy, bit dense, and a bit seedy. And we said that the sweetness reminded us of the message of Jesus and how we can share that sweetness. Sometimes we have a bit of a heavy heart, and sometimes we find that a bit difficult, but the message of Jesus is sweet. And we said dense things can actually be quite filling and nutritious throughout the day. And we also talked about seedy, which raised a few eyebrows. So we are not seedy in that way, hopefully. But we talked about how we can plant seeds in others, and we have that seed that Jesus has given us, and we can pass that on.
We had the savoury panini. Some of the comments were dry, needs butter, spicy, foreign stroke Mediterranean, and not unpleasant. Life experiences, holiday in Malta. I can't read that one. It's my writing. a spice of life, like our lives, which was very appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. We had brown pita bread, and we found it boring. Needs a filling, it dry, it needs salt, but it has potential. Wow. But it's missing something. What kind of life experience does it remind you of? Life before the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, life, you can have loads of money, as mentioned earlier, but if you're missing Jesus Christ, then you've just not got it. Reminds us of the world, the boring life before we knew Jesus. We need filling. We need filling with the Holy Spirit. We think that without fellowship, we go stale, and that's what it felt a bit stale. So we need fellowship.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I can't realize what everyone was wondering, you know, making a fuss about, because ours was very different. So the name was really good. It started with soft white, but in the brackets it said gluten, wheat, and milk free. So it wasn't brilliant. Everyone said bland, dry, tasteless, definitely needs butter and jam. It was a very hard to swallow. And the experience from that was really tasteless, dry, repetitive, monotonous. It points to those times in life when we're struggling and it's a very dry feeling, waiting on God, that long pause before he actually delivers. That's what we felt. So that's the report back.
So
Thank you, everybody. The lesson from that is this, isn't it? Whatever the experience, whatever the bread is like, it still feeds you. It still sustains you. And God still sustains us through all the experiences that we have. Now, just for a moment, just stop and offer up to God any experience that you've had that you've just thought about and thinking, gosh, life was like that. Just offer it up to God at this moment and let him come to you to speak to you about that. Lord, we remember that Jesus is the bread of life. Lord, we come to you with all that is in our lives, and we ask that you will fill us, that you will help us to understand just how Jesus can change us and give us all the sustenance that we need. Help those this morning who have struggled with life in various ways. Encourage those who have had joys that we might share them, and show us, Lord, how to serve you in this world with all that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. So just finally, we're going to finish thinking about what the Old Testament says and what the Bible says about bread. Well, I don't know what you think of when you think of bread, but it's probably to do with something like Kingsmill or Hovis, because that's the commonest kind of bread that we eat. Not just the foreign stuff. I was a bit shocked by that. Paninis are really good, you know, but you have to put things on them. But in the Bible, the word bread means much more than just ordinary everyday bread. It's just astonishing how much, as you look through the Bible, you'll find different references. Have you ever thought about the old version of cast your bread upon the waters and it will return to you? Isn't that rather mysterious when you think about breadcrumbs? You know, what does it mean? Well, of course, what it means is much more than just bread. It means what God gives you, and you can invest what God gives you in various ways. And that's why if you send your grain, your bread, across in a ship, it will bring you a return on your investment. And that's what it's all about, using what God gives us and showing him that according to his will, we can serve him. We remember bread in all sorts of ways. We remember it this afternoon or this evening. We'll be having the Lord's Supper together, and bread means so much more there. But we're talking now about bread in the Old Testament mainly, and what it means there. The word for bread in the Old Testament is lehem, and there it is, Bethlehem, the house of bread. And my mind went to a kind of old-fashioned version of a motorway services where the people on their camels stopped at Bethlehem to take up bread, to have food on their journey, and that's how it got its name. Of course, we think about Bethlehem as the home of and different kinds of bread altogether, because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. But it just kind of struck me that Bethlehem has there in front of us that kind of lesson that God provides all kinds of good things in our lives, and we can expect it from him. And that's why we can pray, give us this daily bread, and remember all those things that sustain us. It's not just food, it's not just bread, it's not just the daily things like clothes and so on, money that we talked about earlier, perhaps our car or whatever. It's also the beautiful things of life like flowers, football, you know, and all those kinds of good things we have in our lives. Cooking, I put at the bottom there because that's what I enjoy doing. And it's just those good things that God gives us day by day. And the question is, are we dependent on God for all those things? I mean, every day is like Christmas Day when you think about it. What Sheila said to us at the beginning about all the things that we enjoy when we wake up in the morning. Are we really grateful for the gifts that God gives us? Every day we enjoy them. That's amazing. Don't worry about these things, said Jesus. Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Isn't that an amazing thought to wake up with every morning? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Give us this day our daily bread. The word in Greek for daily is one of the most mysterious words in the New Testament. It doesn't actually tell you what it means. It could mean the bread that we need for this day, or it could mean the bread that we need generally. But we don't know. But what it doesn't teach you is that you have all those luxuries. There's no health and wealth teaching in give us this day our daily bread. It's dependence on God for the daily needs that we have. It's just like the manna in the Old Testament, where they went out every day and they were told off for going out on the Sabbath because they need to depend on God every day. We need to learn to rely on God just as they did. And that's why you can pray, if you read Proverbs 30 and the other verse that I put up for this week, Proverbs 30, 8 and 9, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and insult God's holy name. So as we come to the Old Testament, it's much more than just physical bread. It's much more than just crumbs. It's much more than the kind of things you were eating a moment ago. God gives us bread, food, clothing, all those personal needs that we can live. A whole world to live on, a whole planet. And so my mind went to, what are we doing with what God gives us each day? And that's what I wanted to do a finish on, really, to get us to think about how we use what God gives us. Have you ever thought that in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve a world to look after where they had all they needed? He'd given them all that. And just imagine living in a world where everything is there ready for you to eat, but they chose to take the one thing that he said they shouldn't eat. And the result was thorns and thistles and all that strife and struggling. It was by the sweat of their brows that they found food to eat from then on, instead of receiving it from God with thanksgiving. And so easily our attitude can be the same, can't it? Instead of being dependent on God and going his way and doing things his way, we try to squeeze round the rules, as it were. We try to escape and do things in a way which will suit us. And there was a brilliant example of that, wasn't there, in all the television we've seen over this last little while. We're called to be stewards of God's earth. And the Blue Planet and David Attenborough just showed us how, by being so selfish with our world, we filled the seas with plastic and we're ruining our own world as a result of all that we want. Plastic is a very good example of the kind of thing that we just use without thinking because it suits us. We're not thinking about what it's doing to the world around us. And this has really been brought home to us in this last little while. But that's just typical. That's just an example of so much else that in our daily lives, which is like that. And we're being fools, like the farmer that Jesus talked about, building bigger barns instead of depending upon God. We think we're going to get rich by amassing all this stuff. And what we're doing is ruining everything around us. Our own convenience, rather than refusing to look after, rather than looking after what God gives us. So the challenge at the end here this morning is this. What do we do with all this that God gives us? Where does it go? If God gives us wealth like this, how are we going to use those good things that God gives us to do his will, to live according to his kingdom? Is it going to be investment according to his kingdom? Or is our money just going to be there to bring us good? Is our car going to be used just for our own convenience? And does it really matter what it does to the environment if it suits me? What about my hobbies, and what about the good things that I enjoy doing? Am I using them for me or for the people around me? Am I bringing God glory? Am I doing what he says rather than what I want? Are we saying no to depending on him for our daily bread and just doing what we want? Or are we really saying, as we are in this prayer, give us this daily bread? Because give us this day our daily bread includes those words, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you have in your life. I don't know what God has given you. It's all different for each one of us. For some of us, it's land. Some of it's money. Some of it's family. Some of it's relationships. The challenge for me this morning is looking at everything that God gives me every day and saying, thank you, God, for that daily bread. Now, what am I going to do with it for your glory? Let's pray. Lord, help us to live generously. Help us not to be greedy. Help us to understand the good things that you give us every day and to go out into this world looking to see how we can serve you. Help us this week in our relationships, in all that we are and all that we seek to be, so that you might yet have glory in our lives. We grieve over our sin. We ask your forgiveness. But Lord, that's not the end of the story, because we have hope that even today, as Jesus has redeemed us and started us off afresh, listening to your word, we might be able to go out and give good things just as you give us good things every day and every moment. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.